said it tastes like peanut butter and jelly sandwiches.
She says one kiss later, she fell for him. Got 29.
Cool. What? That helped you out.
That's $6,000.
What'd you have before 28?
Uh-huh.
Cool. Good job. Good job.
I just needed up 1 point. That's all I'm worried about.
Scholarships, ACT.
They had to keep it secret because...
She got 29. She did have a 28, but the breaking point for a higher scholarship at Hayes was 29. If she could get that, she'd get a higher scholarship, and she got it this last time.
That's awesome.
Hello, everybody. I'm Rhonda Reese, and I'm the current winner of the Publicist of the Year Award, Stars of PR, from the Bulb Dog Reporter publication for my PR awareness campaign on online book piracy. And you're listening to the one and the only fabulous, terrific Comic Pop Library.
To another episode of Comic Pop Rockin' in the Dirt, brought to you by Comic Pop Library. I'm Richard, along with
April,
Jonathan,
and Lenny.
And in today's episode, we are going to be looking at the EP Forever Strong by the Classic Kids. And we appreciate the Classic Kids forwarding this to us through Kelly Thomasoff. And Kelly is from Black Panda PR, so we appreciate Kelly doing that for us. And we'll let April take it away. And just a brief note before she does, the opening song that we came in on was Just Begun.
Okay, yeah, so the Classic Kids are actually a pretty young band in age, human years and band years.
Right.
Human years.
In human years, they're young. Well, that, yeah.
Yeah,
that.
They're all in their, you know, mid to early 20s, early to mid, I guess. I don't go backwards in time. You know? But they formed in summer of 2013.
Okay.
So they've had two going on 3 years now. Working together, and it's Eric James on bass and vocals, Mikey G on the drums, Maddie Boy on guitar and vocals, and Max Dean on guitar. And this is their very first EP, and it came out January 25th or 15th of this year, excuse me. So you can get it already.
So they've been working on the sound for a while.
Which has a retro feel to it.
Definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, did anyone else feel like, you know, doing the whole Breakfast Club
thing?
Well,
see, my thing is this.
During that song.
Yeah, they say retro pop. I say alternative pop. You know, it's kind of the same thing.
I'll accept those descriptions.
Yeah, but the Just Begun, our opening song, to me, the song is very, very reminiscent of the 1975, which is a British band.
Okay.
They came out with Chocolate Robbers, Ugg, if you know that song. UGH, not UGG.
I know for me, going to the retro, it really reminded me of DeBarge. And a lot of you guys might not know that. Go look them up on YouTube. You
just
get the
anything
for that.
I mean, I'm sure these guys could have totally done a soundtrack for a John Hughes movie. It reminds me of like later, not trying to be super over the top, kind of cooler 80s rock, you know what I'm saying? Something that would have been in the Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that they, like, the songs are, like, stolen in any kind of way or style. I'm just saying it's got a similar feel.
It's in the same flavor of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is fine. That's what makes a genre, yeah. Obviously. And, yeah, so, you know, for me, I enjoyed all of the songs. I really liked it. I just wish there was more on the EP, you know, because there's only four tracks. On here. And I know it's just an EP, but man, when it's just four songs, you're kind of like,
well, usually the max is five.
Yeah.
You might get lucky occasionally and get six, but usually it's around four or five.
Yeah. So. I don't know.
But this one I felt was kind of like an anthem song, one of those that picked yourself up, yeah, like you were saying, pump your fist and go. Yeah.
Think
very much so.
Yeah, and you have to be in the right mood to listen to it, because like Dad had all of us on loud, like max volume, and we were listening to it, and so that's
we were really jamming that out.
So I was like, God, this is giving me a headache, you know. But he turned it down, and it was great. But my thing is, I liked all the background that I enjoyed synth used in this way and everything. It was just, I think the vocals were a little too treated. You know, they were a little too muffled with the sound. Okay. It's kind of, that was really the only thing that I was like, eh. But, I mean,
see, I was getting into the beat, so fine. I never really noticed that. I was just bopping along and moving my body.
You can brainwash Dad very easily.
Yeah. The song could totally be about nothing, but if it has a jive beat, he's in.
Sweet.
Yeah, I liked it. This song in particular was one of the ones that I really perked my ears up for when we were having our listening sesh. And also, I did kind of feel a little bit of like the instrumentation, if that's what you mean, was kind of overbearing on the lyrics and kind of washed them out a little bit. Not that you couldn't hear them.
Well, see,
it just kind of made like, I don't know.
To me, it wasn't the instrumentals. I thought the instrumentals were fine. They put some dampening technical sound.
So you think they did something to their voice?
They
definitely
did.
I thought it was just the guitars overriding it.
No, and I think if they took that off, or at least lessened it, then it would have made, instead of the instrumentals and vocals being on the same level, which is where you get it all, you know, can't hear it really well, it just would have been a hair above it, so it'd be, you know, it would jive better and everything. But I mean, it's
still a cool sound.
Yeah, like this is still a very good start.
Yeah, I didn't really feel. I mean, I don't know anything about how music is put together or anything like that, so I believe you totally. It didn't feel synthetic to me, the vocals.
Yeah.
It sounded like they're real voices. We've done a lot of synthetic music lately, so, you know, I'm kind of getting an ear for it.
Well, yeah, there's some more than others, yeah.
Yeah, some are definitely much more synthesized than others. But
they're a young band, you know, summer of 2013, so they'll definitely grow and change, you know, as they, you know, figure out what they really want to do and everything. But I think this is a good start, and I like their name, the Classic Kids.
And
very
I think that's an homage going back to the
very,
retro feel.
Very hipster of them, yes.
Kind of, what was it, New Kids on the Block? It kind of reminded me of that name. So, the Classic Kids, so.
Oh, that first song we listened to reminded me of
Drive.
I want to soak up the sun.
The very first of it really felt like a Beach Boys type song. And then it kind of went to electro shortly thereafter, but at the very beginning it definitely felt like a Beach Boys type song. So,
but I liked it all. I mean,
Jonathan was over there beating on his chair, driving a spike through my head because we have plastic chairs in here, so I had to throw a pin at him.
Was that what he was doing? I wasn't sure what was going on.
I won't talk to him.
I could hear it, but it wasn't bothering me.
He's going to be the silent podcaster tonight.
He's angry because we told him to put up his phone. Oh, God forbid professionalism.
Especially around here, right?
So what do you think, Jonathan? You were beaten with the beat, so you must have liked it a little bit.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't get into the music, but it seems like you were getting into this one some.
Yeah, it just, like, I agree with you guys on the retro aspect.
It's
it
better.
Was kind of like,
I can't hear myself. There we go.
Hey, there.
Dad's forgetting to press all these very important.
I was wondering if it was just me or if it was like the before with April. I'm like, no, there's something wrong here.
Okay.
Well, keep going.
It was very retrospect. It was very boy bandish, but now I know why it was boy bandish.
They're boys.
But yeah. I didn't. Young men, but I didn't boys. Get.
Guys. I didn't get boy bandish to me. Yeah. That's like multiple.
Well, automatically when I first heard it, I was just like, "This is a boy band." I mean, like I could tell that it was. I had like a very 70s, 80s vibe to it.
Well,
but
see,
I could.
Now you got to discuss. You're right. What makes a boy band? Because to me, boy band is bubblegum pop bands made of just boys, where this one is alternative retro. Because right. if you take it with just boys or 70s, 80s vibe, then what's Guns N' Roses? What's Aerosmith?
Boy bands. Totally.
Exactly. You know,
yeah, by that technical definition.
But I know a lot of people would say very much no. Like
most
me,
people
would say
that Aerosmith is, in fact, not a boy band.
Yeah,
but I'm telling you, by Jonathan's very technical definition, we can lump in those buttholes too. So,
not saying you're wrong, Jonathan. I'm just clarifying here what we all.
Well, I got that vibe with the No Matter the Distance and the one we'll go out on. We had it all. That kind of had a One Direction-ish feel to them.
Oh, I did put a One Direction one of the songs.
I can kind of see where Jonathan was leaning towards the boy band sound because they did incorporate a little bit of that.
And I also thought that on the first song and the second song, I thought the beats were a little bit similar. I don't know if you guys caught that or not.
It was
just a little too similar for my taste. And then they went to the third song, and I was like, okay, no, this isn't. The similarity is kind of switching to a different.
I put some tempo stuff on my notes as well. Is that it's a good tempo, but
you think they overutilize?
If it's overused, all the songs start sounding the same.
Exactly. And see, I thought the first and the second song sounded the same to me. Okay. So,
and if you get an artist's greatest hits album, you can really get a lot.
Yeah,
a lot of the
there's
songs.
There's a reason those songs are the greatest hits.
Oh, this sounds familiar. Just different words.
It is. It is a challenge of an artist. I'd imagine a musical artist to come up with something that's new and original, but something that is.
But that will still be popular.
Well, it's not going to be popular unless it's familiar already. Like it has to be like something that either and like most of the ones that like instantly get in your head, they also like drive you nuts in a few months, and everyone hates those songs years later.
In country, there's a big joke, you know, anyone can write a country song because usually they only use four chords. They just, you know, get creative with it and figure out different ways to use it and everything.
Crying a little bit.
Okay, yeah, but the thing about country is, like, they specifically only want to use those four chords so they can have a specific twang. I mean, right, like, country is specifically designed to have that kind of melodramatic twang. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, it's the style of music, and if you use many more chords than that, what you're going to fall into is rock and roll. And you're no longer, I mean, there are country singers that go outside of that genre. And when you listen to them using other aspects of music, they're like, well, okay, you're not really a country singer anymore because that implies that you're going to sing country Western music, which is a very specific thing. No other genre of music, I think, is as well defined other than maybe opera. Is more well defined, but even like Christian rock, that can mean a lot of things. But country, when it says country Western, not new country or new rock, but country Western, you know you're going to get a certain specific feel, and it's because of those four chords. So, if they used a fifth chord, well, then now you've got rap, you know. So,
and now
the country is kind of taking a backseat to, like you said, the new country.
That's not as true anymore. Yeah, exactly. But and then again,
They're putting in pop and they're putting in rock. And,
a lot of those artists are kind of blurring the lines, which I think it would be nice if we didn't have all this genreization.
I don't have a problem with it. And to me, it's all about subgenres. You know, I hate it when people are like, country rock isn't true country. I'm like, it's country. It's just a branch off of country.
Right. Yeah, it's not that classic country Western.
Exactly. Which, I mean, if that's your taste, cool.
But look, I mean, even before he died, Johnny Cash was doing, covers of Nine Inch Nails songs so well that people fought with me, convinced that Johnny Cash had written that song at the end of his life. I'm like, everyone might be interested to know that Trent Reznor, in fact, wrote that song. And, you know, but, and it didn't, you know, it had a country sound, I guess, because it was Johnny Cash and because it's a slow song anyway. And it was Johnny Cash. I mean, he has a voice that you can stamp on things, well,
yeah,
you know,
like, well, yeah, it's definitely a country sound whenever he sings.
Yeah.
And I think with the classic kids, they're wanting that purposely feel of the older style.
Right. Yeah, they're looking for a certain retro vibe, so they can't go too far.
Unless they start changing it up a little bit.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, they can, but
this EP,
but really what I heard was that these are guys that are like, you know, dang it, I wish I was born in the 80s or like even earlier so I could have really been, you know,
alive
up
in the
80s.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
like maybe born in the 70s, rocking it out in the 80s. They seem like they had that early 90s, late 80s kind of feel. That was me. Wow. That like, even like to say the 70s, I think is almost, it wasn't that commercialized. And I'm not saying that in a bad way. Like the 80s had a very specific
80s was excess all the way.
Okay, the movie American Psycho. I realize that that's
90s, early 2000s.
Well, it was made later, but it's about the 80s. Yeah. And the music that they chose for this movie, this music reminds me a lot of that because it was the very commercialized music, mm-hmm. very popular.
Oh, well, it's like you said.
Which means they should have a lot of chance at success because they have a very commercial, popular sound that...
And it's like you said, the Breakfast Club type movies.
Yeah, I love that shit too. That's the best ever.
One second, Jonathan's getting his windbreaker on.
I can hear it.
Because our fan's on.
Oh my
like,
God.
Like, I'm not bothered by you. I'm just letting you do your thing.
We'll There's so much noise associated with that. Oh my God, it's just like, put your jacket on.
But it's not... It's not like an annoying, like in your face sound. It's just like that little
static. It sounds like wind.
It's that static in the background, that.
And we'll leave all this in just so everybody can enjoy it.
It got a little chilly in there.
I said everything I wanted to say, though. I really liked the music. It was, we didn't get a huge sampling of it, but what I heard, I liked.
Yeah.
But it was, the music was light.
Right.
You know, some of the ones we've recorded here lately were the darker feel. This one definitely brought about a lighter feel.
And I was trying to catch the words. I like the words I heard, but again, it's like one of those things. I need to listen to them more often before I can really judge the lyrics because it seemed pretty good where they were going with their lyrics, but I get lost and I'm like, wait, what did he say?
I actually did pay attention to the lyrics. This time, most of the music, I don't pay attention to the lyrics, and I actually was just like...
But in this one, you were able to...
This one, I was... And the third one, I've got to say, was my favorite because it was kind of like a pick-me-up. Because
it was depressing. The fourth one was.
It was kind of like that.
Yeah.
The fourth one, the very last one, I put better, and then I put depressing check mark, which is great. Okay, so
April.
When I say this,
you can get no better compliment from April.
Yeah, don't take it as a bad thing because I'm all about it. It's like, heck yeah, sadness and loneliness.
I think that those things resonate well in music anyway.
Yeah,
with any kind of music, because a lot of times, like, even though if you're sad, like that's when you want to listen to music a lot of times. Mm. And even if you are sad, listen to somebody else's heartache kind of helps heal yours or something like that.
And it's
why country Western music's so popular.
It's a sense of camaraderie and you know, the feeling of this person gets me, you know?
Right.
But
they're inside of my head.
But it's also, if you want to look at it a little more cynical, it's God, I'm glad I'm not that person. Like they got the shit stick. Oh my God, you know.
Well, see, for me, music sometimes rides on moods, and I think like this would be a pick me up. Like for me, my angry music would be like
death metal.
Well, not death metal, but it would be like Green Day and stuff like that.
Punk.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, this is going to date this episode.
Punk rock, huh?
On Stephen Colbert.
Uh huh. I don't know. I didn't watch it. Don't point at me like I know.
Sometime in March, early March, they're going to have Baby Death Metal.
Yeah, I saw that.
Metal. Yeah, metal. I saw that. I actually saw that on Facebook. I was like, ooh,
I know them.
I know them.
Yeah. But yeah, I get what you're saying. You know, this. I don't know if this music is for every single mood. I don't think it would be. To me, this is more of a...
I think it would be more of a pick-me-up, like if you were, like you were saying, depressed or something like that, and you put on this music, you'd be like, oh, okay. Yeah,
well, see, I see it as you're already, like you're like maybe jamming with friends, like cruising or something, and you're like, what should we listen to? You should listen to the classic kids. All right. And then you like, you know, drive your vintage bug because you're a hipster for shingles.
I'm not right. hugely fond of the name of the band. To me, I'm just, this is just an opinion. It just seems kind of generic. Like, I wish that they, I didn't like the kids. I think that, like, like,
well, I think, like I said, the classic was referring back to the retro. Mm-hmm. I think they got the kids because New Kids on the Block.
New Kids on the Block
were back in that day too. But otherwise, yeah, it's really generic.
And I think it makes it funner too. I mean, kids are naturally seen as more fun than adults. It's better than saying the classic gentleman.
But you didn't.
No, I don't like that either.
Exactly.
I'm not saying.
The classic gentleman, that's so sophisticated.
Exactly. I don't have a better suggestion for them, and it isn't necessarily that they use.
It's just not your.
The word kids.
Yeah. Right.
Just the. I don't know. I think that, like, if they had a catchier name, they might. You know, it's a good band, and it's, like, kind of a. Oh, we didn't really have a lot of time to think about the name because we spent all this time working on music.
Like, Wham!
Yeah, and I mean, that worked really well in the '80s.
Wham!
And so, oh, yeah, like, aha. Uh-huh. So maybe that's what they're going for. I didn't even think about that. If they are going for that kind of that
I just
era,
got a reference, Richard.
Then it kind of does work because a lot of those Robert Palmer, a lot of those really successful big bands back in that era.
Simple names. Like,
very simple names. And even in the early 90s.
I think too, because like there's the song "The Cool Kids."
Yeah, that's what I was.
And to me, this is on the same path as that. Yeah. Like whenever I say classic kids, I instantly go to cool kids. So I think it isn't
that it doesn't work. It's just it's kind of like it works too well to me. And I'm not saying they should change it. Far be it for me to tell them to change the name of their band. Maybe they have a lot of reasons that they use that. And you know, it just seems to me like it was like commercially stamped on the box.
Yeah.
And then, you know, like, yes, if you are now a kid and you want to hear what would be classics to your mindset, check out this 80s rock we just made today. Like, that's exactly what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, saying, hey, the butler did it and he did it in the Candlestick in the Library is the name of this book. You know, like, you don't really want it. It's like there's no mystery there. You know, it's like...
True. That's true.
But you've also... I'm doing math here.
That's fine. I don't know why, but go ahead.
Well, because I'm looking at their age range, and so the oldest one had to be born somewhere 1989-1990. The latest would be mid-90s. So I wonder if it's reference to... Even though we're...
That's what I'm saying. For their age range,
yeah, for them,
1980 is classic. Yeah. Like, that's... Oh. They're like, they made music before 1980? What was that? You know, they probably don't know what a vinyl LP is, but that's...
They probably do. If I do, I think they do.
I'm sure that everybody this day... You know, now that vinyl is actually coming back, yeah, they're doing digital vinyl now, so that's going
to
be
a
thing.
To me, vinyl is just common sense knowledge. But I mean, I guess it could.
You're a music major, so you know it's like,
it's like
the stuff that you think
yeah.
is common sense knowledge just isn't. It just isn't.
What am I for?
Like I remember in sixth grade, our science teacher talked about how he had a Walkman, and none of my class knew what it was. And I just remember being like, "What is wrong with you children?"
I remember whenever I was watching this movie not long ago. I can't think of the movie, but it's. In that era is when it's set, and the kid, and the it's a alien movie. I can't remember what it's. It isn't. Yeah, it's Super 8. In the beginning of Super 8, the kid, he has a Walkman, and he's like, you know, I don't think you need to have those fangled earphones over your head with, you know, kids need to be looking out in the world, or what. I forget what the sheriff says to him, but it's kind of like, you know, nowadays it's like, God, I wish we just had Walkmans, you know. But yeah, that was at a time whenever, like, you know, they went from no real technology to a lot.
I also remember it was either fourth or third grade because my third cousin's John Denver, and so
mine too. yeah, John Denver totally. I'm also related to Napoleon. Well, prove I'm not.
Well, no, I can go get you the photos, and they're at home. They're, you know, we can.
Yeah, I can get photos of John Denver too. I got time.
No, with at family
yeah, with
reunion,
my head cropped in. Yeah, it's
family reunions.
I'm just
and
teasing
everything.
You. But yeah, I'm just teasing you. I'm sure John Denver was totally hip.
He's a Dutchendorf. That's one of my wife's things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know.
Yeah, it's on mom's side. You see, that's disgusting. But no, see, and that's the thing is that I remember being third or fourth grade, and I remember very vividly being on the swings with a friend, and we were, you know, like, this is our history and thing. I'm like, yeah, I'm related to John Denver. Like, that's pretty cool fact and thing. And they're just like,
who?
Ooh, like, you know, yeah, they're like, okay, yeah, I don't know who that person. I'm just
they
like,
must have been disgusting too.
They were. They are
disgusting people. All
but I still talk to them, so I can.
The only reason I even know who John Denver is because of Dumb and Dumber. Sorry.
What the heck, guys? History.
Let me see.
Since I watched that movie, I did listen to the song Rocky Mountain High to get the reference from the movie, and now I know exactly who John Denver is. I've heard a little bit more about him since then, but that's pretty cool. So you're related to rich and famous people.
I'm not, but she is.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's how it always works out.
Yes.
But that just means you married up. Yeah. So there you go.
Yay. But no, this rednecks is one, for days.
Yeah. I definitely married up. I married an Australian descent person. So they all think they're better than us. No, I'm just kidding.
It's hate mail. Yeah, at least we're getting something.
Yeah, right. I will take hate mail at this point. Like, is there anyone out there breathing? I'm kind of concerned about that. Has the zombie apocalypse already started and no one let Lakin know?
Let us know.
Yeah, like Lakin's still out here functioning. Like, everyone's like, well, you know, let's get to the next town, and we're like, everyone just has some excuse not to go, so we have no idea.
Well, this is one I think we're going to wrap it up here. Forever Strong, it is out, their EP from the Classic Kids. You could probably look it up on iTunes. Their Facebook page, you might be able to find something there, but their website is theclassickids.com, but there's not a whole lot there. It's kind of set up like a blog again, like some of the other bands we've looked at. So they didn't really have a link to any of their music. So I would say do a search on iTunes or check out their Facebook
page. Is this annoying you?
Yeah, it's making a lot of noise.
It's coming through.
Well, it annoys me when it moves back and forth constantly.
That's
so
worse than so Jonathan's windbreaker.
So if you're interested, check out their Facebook page. You might be able to find something there. We appreciate the Classic Kids for letting us listen to the repeat Forever Strong. And we appreciate Kelly from the Black Pit.
They've lost their minds.
Yes. We appreciate Kelly from Black Panda PR for sending this to us. We appreciate everything and all the support that you've given us over the years. If you're interested in getting in touch with us, you can email us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com.
Even if it's hate mail.
We have our Facebook page and a Twitter account. We got a few things through Facebook. The first one was from Shadow Storm Studios. This is one of our friends, Vance Major, is involved with in his new project, Melbourne, that's going to be coming up. But Shadow Storm Studios actually came out and said, this was unexpected but very cool. Thank you to Comic Pop Library. We posted their teaser trailer for the new Star Trek fan film, Melbourne. So it's not a problem. We definitely waiting to see what's going to happen there. Also, we had Rhino, who we posted a link to his single Stars in the Sky, his lyric video, and he just wanted to sound out and say thanks Comic Pop Library for the write-up and feature of his lyric video. So we'll definitely appreciate you sending it to us and let us look at it and having fun. That's what all this is about, is having fun with everybody. So appreciate those two individuals getting back with us. Anybody can get in touch with us. Send us your comments, questions,
concerns,
anything. Glad to do it. But we've been having fun here. Hope everybody's been having fun out there. We will see everybody on the flip side. Bye.
Bye.
While you're playing the exit music,
see ya.
Finish my cigarette. Oh,
and that is true. We did say see ya already, but we are leaving out on We Had It All.
Shadow burned away. The ghost of you is haunting me as colors turn to gray. In time you will see it when you open up your eyes. Cause you know that the truth is that you tell yourself a lie.
burning down, but we're hiding in the shade.
Thank you for listening to Comic Pop Library. We welcome your comments and suggestions by emailing us at admin@comicpoplibrary.com. All emails submitted become the property of Comic Pop Library and are subject for use in our show. We would also appreciate it if you would spread the word about Comic Pop Library by posting about us on Twitter, Facebook, or just tell someone about us. This podcast is not endorsed by any publisher, distributor, or studio, and it is intended for entertainment and information purposes only. The views and comments of the show hosts are their own and are not reflective in any business, entity, or organization associated with ComicPopLibrary.com.